Miram Hirulahu missed 4 field goals and hit 2 goal posts as the Bombers' woes continue. The Jets shortened up their roster, and we'll tell you exactly who's gone and who's in. And the Winnipeg Rifles crushed the Huskies in Edmonton. That has serious playoff implications, and we'll let you know what that is coming up right here on Crossover Sportscast. This is Week 5. I'm Sean, that's Jordan, and we start right now.
Crossover.
Really? You want to talk sports? Is that what we do?
I like talking sports.
Crossover Sportscast.
You just asked me to imagine.
Well, just because I said imagine doesn't mean I want it.
With Sean Perrin.
Now let's talk girls' underwear.
Jordan Hasselbeck.
Oh my god, fuck around with no pants on.
Crossover.
Guys' underwear is making a huge comeback, if you will. There's like.
Did it go away?
G State Beavers, what a team name.
Jordan.
Yep.
How's it going, bro?
Not bad. Are we live?
Yeah, man.
Holy crap.
I was gonna say, that's all you got to say is just
it
not
doesn't,
bad.
It doesn't look live, but all right.
Well, it's because it's not live. Again, it's a podcast.
Well, you know what I mean. Did you catch me talking about beavers?
Yeah, I did. And actually,
good.
First segue of the day already.
Oh, God.
Week 5 of Crossover Sportscast is brought to you by...
MeUndies.
MeUndies. Yeah, and boy, right. Am I excited.
Yeah,
boy, am I excited. Let's talk some undies.
A little bit too much.
So these guys have... And did you know that there was this many different kinds of men's underwear, Jordan?
Sure. I totally did.
So you got your briefs, right? I mean, we know about briefs. Every kid spent until about the age of like 12 or 13 wearing tighty whities until wedgies came into play at school. And then it's like, you know what, Ma? I want some boxers.
You wear tighty whities, I think, until you realize that it's really uncool to wear tighty whities, right?
So uncool. Yeah, it's about the time when like people start noticing what kind of underwear you're wearing in the change room at gym class. And then you get made fun of if you're wearing the wrong kind.
Yeah.
So, well, and then, oh no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I've got some underwear stories, but I think you should go first.
Well, no, I don't actually have like a planned out underwear story. However, let me just finish talking about what MeUndies has.
Go for
here.
It. And then I'll tell my stories.
They got the men's briefs, they got the trunk boxers, which I guess is like a looser kind,
mm-hmm.
a little more, boxerish. And then they got the men's boxer brief. And if you look at the picture here, it's got a little bit of a gap in the front, you know, like a junk pocket.
Yeah.
Which I could see being comfortable.
So, you know, the funny thing about that is I like to wear briefs, but I find them a little bit too tight and constricting.
A little bit invasive, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. A little pocket like that would be nice.
And especially when you're, like, sitting around in a classroom all day, you know, like, with that constriction, so many bad things.
First thing I do when I get home is take my pants off.
I put on like some really baggy like PJs, you know,
mm-hmm, totally.
Which MeUndies also has.
Yep.
But yeah, so you were alluding to an underwear story, which piqued my interest.
Well, I kind of worry because I think I might have told this story last week. Did I tell a story about my hockey coach?
His underwear, the sexy man thong.
Yeah, we bought him a man thong because he said he wouldn't change his underwear until we won our first game, and then we won our first game. We bought him underwear.
Oh, that's unfortunate because, yeah, you totally did tell that story, but
yeah.
That's a good story.
I came too early. That's not what I meant to say, but I think it's...
you blew your load a little early on that one.
I definitely did, yeah.
Now let's talk girls' underwear here.
See, I was gonna bring this up. You spent more time looking at the girls' underwear page than you did the men's. I don't blame you too much, but...
I mean, like, let's be real here. The underwear industry is centered around women, right? I mean, there are so many more kinds of underwear for women than there are for men.
I'll give you that. That's definitely true.
However, this day and age, you know, guys' underwear is making a huge comeback, if you will. There's like,
did it go away?
Well, no. I mean, men's underwear didn't go away necessarily. But, you know, we were always forced into, you know, you get boxers or you get briefs. And that's all you get. Meanwhile, women have like frilly like stuff and, you know, stuff that crams up your ass and whatever and looks uncomfortable but looks really good at the same time. Now, though, you know, have you heard about Saks?
I've heard about Saks,
yeah. It's like SAXX or whatever.
That's a competing company, yeah.
It's a competing company, yes. However, it goes along the same lines as what MeUndies has in the men's department here where... Got that little junk holder there, that little tiny gap in the front of the boxers. But anyway, going on to what they have for women's, they've got the thong, classic, as always. Right?
Having a talk about women's underwear.
Why not?
On the Crossover Sportscast. Women's underwear, we know it all.
They got the cheeky brief, which shows just that little bit of underbum.
Yeah, I'm a fan of those.
Yeah. The boy shorts, those are cute. That's like volleyball players.
Those are good too, yeah. I'll give you that one.
And then the model lace thong, and I'm not even going to talk about the bikini one. That's just boring. That's like full bum granny panties. Who likes those?
Yeah, I'm not going to. No comment. I'll leave it alone.
Except for maybe, you know, grannies or whatever. Yeah. But I mean, I guess there's a place for them, honestly. But
well,
I wonder what happens if you click. Here, let's click on the cheeky brief.
Oh my God! It's never navigating the website.
There we go. Yeah.
Lots of options.
This girl's showing them off quite well. You can see why it says cheeky brief in there.
No, I know. You get a magnifying glass. To zoom in. Okay, well, that's definitely a website to check out if you are interested in underwear or just being a pervert.
That's not even pervish. Come on, it's like less pervish than the Sears catalog used to be. Look,
I don't know about that.
Underbum.
I don't get me wrong, that's sexy.
Underbum right there. You are in, and I'm in too. All right. Enough. Is that enough underwear talk?
We have talked enough about underwear. I'm ready to move on.
Should we tell a couple? I got a hole in mine right now. Like, I got to throw these out.
Yeah.
You know when it starts to detach from the waistband?
Yes.
It's unfortunate, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Do you want to see?
I know. No, I don't.
You do want to see the hole in my underwear?
I know a lot about underwear that are falling apart, and you can ask my girlfriend. She knows a lot about it, too.
What does that mean? Her underwear is falling apart?
No, me.
Mine. Your underwear is falling apart.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, wow. It's barely holding together. and you know what? I think I like it that way.
Oh, so MeUndies is not in your future.
Yeah, well, it would be in my future if I made more than $0 on an hour on this podcast.
There you go. Hey, yeah. So subscribers, subscribe a little more, and then maybe if we start getting our subscriptions up, then MeUndies might actually pay us for these kind of corporate plugs. That would be unreal. And then I would sport their MeUndies around, and I'd show people, just like I tried to show my co-host Jordan Hasselbeck here, the hole in my underwear. But
no thanks.
See, if I wouldn't have that problem, and neither would Jordan, if MeUndies would actually sponsor us and give me new boxer briefs, the ones with the junk hole in the front, so that I can maintain comfort throughout the day.
And you know what? Christmas is coming up in like 2 months, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm talking about Christmas in October.
I know, and I hate you for it. But at the same time, I really hate getting underwear for Christmas.
Oh, I love it. I used to hate it as a kid, like growing up. It was the shittiest thing ever. But now it's like, yes, I got new boxers because it's the only way I'm going to get new clothes is because I don't buy any clothes.
I guess that's true. Yeah, I don't buy clothes either.
It's like socks too. Well, actually, my mom just buys shitty socks, to be honest. So I kind of have to go out and do my own sock thing.
You know what's the worst is that my parents have the worst sense of like fashion. So for like 3 years in a row, my parents got me beige jeans. And this is going back quite a while, hey. Beige jeans. And like
from
the
bay?
No, beige, like the color beige.
Oh, beige. That's terrible.
I know. And like I don't wear beige anything.
Yeah, beige is just a bad color.
The only thing that I wear is like black or plaid. And my parents got me beige jeans all these times in a row. And so, like, getting clothes for Christmas just totally throws me right off, like, most years. I'm just like, nope, not having it.
Totally random topic, but, like, beige jeans remind me of tan, like, pants. And whenever I see a girl wearing tan pants, I'm like, oh, my God, she's walking around with no pants on. And I'm like, I'm not sure if I love that or hate it. I might love it because I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
But I also hate it because it's, like, I don't know, it's trickery. I don't like that.
Well, it sure would be ballsy for a girl to be walking around just with no pants, but equally
ballsy
so
for anyone.
It's ballsy to be wearing those nude, I guess is what they call it, the nude color.
And that's what they're called too, they're nude.
Yeah.
Imagine a hockey team with the nude jerseys or whatever.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
No. I don't want that.
Well, you just asked me to
it
imagine
sounds so
it.
Stupid.
You just asked me to imagine.
Well, just because I said imagine doesn't mean I want it. No?
One can dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you can dream about nude hockey players.
No thanks. That's not, nope, a pass.
Anyway, moving right along, we are Crossover Sportscast. This is our fifth week. Congratulations, man. We're still on iTunes.
We just entered kindergarten. How great. Yum.
We just entered kindergarten?
Well, because like we're five, right? I mean, we're 5 weeks, but...
Yeah, at five weeks, you're still like learning how to crawl.
Oh, it's like my comedy routine. It's all about how babies are stupid.
Oh, boy. I can't
wait. Babies are stupid. They are. They're dumb.
I can't wait for that. You're going to actually go on stage at
at what's the place
Rumors.
Called? At Rumors, and talk about how babies are stupid.
Because they are. Yeah. It's barely funny because it's like, it's just true. Babies are stupid.
So you're planning to have a barely funny stand-up comedy routine.
Yeah, that's what makes it funny, right? It's barely funny.
The fact that it's barely funny is what makes it funny?
Yeah, it's like art, man. It's like abstract art. It's abstract funny.
I really doubt that. It's like art. What does your instructor have to say about your routine?
He's
being
okay
barely
with it.
Funny.
He's okay with it so far. Yeah. Yeah. Kenton's supportive.
Does he laugh at your jokes?
He does.
Does he laugh at or laugh with?
He really laughs when I got up on stage, and the first thing I says is, "Babies are stupid."
Is that how you're? Did you just blow your load early? And you're giving away your.
I might as well. Right. It's all I got.
Yeah. Lena from the Broad Pod was saying that she's going to go up there and have her opening joke be, "Sean's old."
I would love that.
I would love it too, but I feel like there would only be like a handful of laughs in the room because nobody knows who I am. Yeah.
I can see that being an issue.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've talked about a bunch of crap for like the first 10 minutes of the show. Let's actually get into some sports.
Really? You want to talk sports? Is that what we do?
I like talking sports.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. And I've also got my my voice crack counter here. We're currently
I got my
I got my voice crack counter right here. I'm at 15.
How many times did you crack this today?
On the show?
Yeah.
None.
Oh, so running count.
Yeah. This is an important document that I keep with me at all times in case my voice ever cracks during a show. So
your voice is sounding pretty powerful though today.
It's not bad. The poutine helped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of poutine was that?
Pierogi. It's good.
Oh, pierogi. You ever had a pierogi dog at the Jets game?
Oh, I love them. They're so good. Well, the first one I had was amazing. The second one I had was like gave me tummy issues.
Tummy issues.
Tummy issues.
I mean, my gut. Crap Factory. There's your Simpsons reference for the week.
Yeah, it was not my tummy issues. It was it was my gut, my poop factory.
Yeah, my. Gotta find tough ways to say tummy. Yeah, it's really unless it's like a girl saying tummy, then it's like, aw, cute, it's her tummy. Mm-hmm. But no,
we
guys,
could totally
can't get away with that.
I would love actually to do like a poll of like what is the best stadium food in Winnipeg specifically, like. Is it like because it's like Shawarmacon's got to be somewhere in that area, right? Ooh, like yeah. Shawarmacon's pretty good.
I
How about
like
the rum from the Rum Hut?
I was gonna say that's exactly what I was gonna say. A lot of people would vote for the Rum Hut.
I love Jet Dogs. They're really good. Big fan of Jet Dogs.
You know, I don't eat at venues very often.
Yeah, I don't eat a ton.
I'm more focused on beer, like very focused.
I get that. Yeah, yeah. This weekend, and I always do this whenever I call hockey games. I called two women's hockey games. And on the second one, I made sure that I got some coffee and some food. I got some French fries and hot dogs. And I proceeded to eat the French fries while I was calling the game, just the worst
That's
idea
gross.
Ever. Yeah, so I hope that the people who are listening couldn't hear me go, nom, 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 nom.
Or what would be even worse is like hearing the food go from solid to liquid in your mouth and swishing around.
I was the color commentary guy, so I had my mouth relatively quiet when I was eating. So I think I got away with it. But I will say that I also had a hot dog and I scarfed it down. And I love the hot dogs that are at Bison's games. I don't know, they're like $2.50 and they're like actually decent hot dogs.
What do you got there? Like footlongs or?
No, they're just like it's thick. It's
so smoky.
Yeah, it's a smoky. Okay. It is. Yeah, they call it a hot dog. It's a smoky. It's really good.
Their hot dogs are smokies. So do they have like a smoky that's actually like a super smoky or something?
I don't know. I never looked into it.
Ah, man. Are they cheese filled?
No. They might have one that's cheese filled, but I know that all I know is that I get this one and I get it every time because it's so good. And I get coffee because, you know, you can never have enough coffee.
I got a coffee right now, man. Yeah. You can't do anything like communications related without coffee and or beer, sometimes both.
Best way to call a game too is it loosens the throat up a little bit and,
for sure.
And it gives you the energy you need to be peppy.
Yeah, and so, I'm sure does it help you with the voice crack problem?
You know what? It might do that. I drink a lot of water when I'm calling games, and that way my voice does not crack.
Out of that loud, ridiculously loud water bottle that you have?
No, I have other water bottles. Yeah, I just interrupt class all the time with it, don't I?
You do. And so I'm wondering if like the Bison's broadcasts are just full of that every now and then.
Yeah, that wouldn't be great. But anyway, women's had their home opener this weekend, and they
women's
hockey. Sorry, yeah,
there we go.
Women, and they won the first game 2-1, and they lost the second game 4-0. So, Bison Sports.
Wait. They played two games.
They always play back to back. So that's the way it works, because it just makes sense for the teams who are on the road to like pound out two games. So like it's always a series. It's always a two-game series. They'll play on Friday and Saturday, or Saturday and Sunday in this case.
Okay, that does make sense. Yeah,
and so they play the same team, play the Alberta Pandas, which is kind of funny that came up again. And they won the first game and lost the second game, so that's cool. The Pandas actually beat them in the conference finals last year, but So there's some interesting stuff going on in that women's hockey team. They got one really talented girl who's really, really talented. Her name is Alana Sharman. She's really good.
How'd she do last year? Do you know?
She was actually Rookie of the Year last year.
Nice.
So that's interesting. And she was, I think, second or third on the team in points. Their former points leader, Maggie Litchfield Med, graduated. So she's not on the team anymore. She was their captain, too. And she was unbelievable. One of the best hockey players I've ever seen in person. And by hockey players, I mean hockey players. Like... She was good. She was really
not
good.
Not soccer players.
No. Yeah. It's important to clarify these things.
Because as we determined before, there's no hitting in soccer.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're figuring soccer out 1 week at a time. Yeah. First we learned there's no hitting, and guess what? Sean, update. I discovered there's no hands in soccer either.
Oh, really?
That's important.
That's good to know.
In fact, you actually get a penalty for using your hands on the ball, unless you're a goalie.
God damn. Man, yeah. That sounds like a tough sport. Yeah. Like, really.
Hard times. That joke felt kind of flat. And actually the men, they open up their season this Thanksgiving weekend. They start, they have a Friday game at 7 o'clock, and then they play again Saturday at 1. This is their season opener. I am really excited to cover their games, and I'm going to actually be at all their games this year because my IPP, my independent professional project, is going to be doing a Bison's hockey broadcast. So I'll be... nose deep in the Bison's men's hockey team, knowing everything about it.
Nose deep?
I think I just made up a statement. I just made up a phrase.
Usually it's like balls deep or something. Balls deep into that.
I wanted to be really clean and like I'm going to run for politics or something one day. Yeah, right? Because I've never said anything wrong in my life.
Man, I've never actually considered running for politics until today. When I was attacking everybody in the debate this morning, that was really fun.
I'd like to thank Sean for his performance at the debate.
Yeah,
like inside jokes.
Sorry everybody, that's inside joke.
I think that's enough as far as Bison's hockey goes. I have no update on Bison's football. I can look it up really quickly, but why don't we talk about Rifles football?
Question for you.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Just going back to the are you going to be calling all those games, or are you writing for some of those?
Are you talking for men's games?
For the men's.
The men's games. I'm actually not doing either. I'm just videography. Like I'm doing video work, getting highlights, talking to players and stuff like that. Like nothing for the actual broadcast itself until the actual day of my big broadcast.
But you're spending every game in the broadcast booth, getting kind of. Set up and like learning all the technology.
Yeah,
and
it's it's a long process.
I bet. Yeah.
Actually, an interesting fact is I talked to the head of Bison's, like the director of Bison Sports, whatever he call him. I don't know. He's like the head of communications or something. I don't know. Chris Zook. Anyway, he told me that the captain or leading point scorer anyway for the men's hockey team last year, Jordan DePap, is actually a diabetic. So I am totally going with that as my angle for like one of my profiles. I have to profile some people on that team. And it totally makes sense not only is he the leading point scorer on that team, he's also diabetic, which is really being impressive and cool, right? It makes for a really good story.
I'm sure he's got like extra dietary restrictions that he's got to follow.
I've got tons of questions to ask.
Yeah,
it's gonna be cool.
That'll be an interesting read. Mm-hmm. You're making a
it's not a read. It's
no?
It's a video.
Oh, it's a
It'll
video.
Be like a 2 to 5 minute video for sure.
Cool.
And apparently he speaks with all kinds of young kids who have diabetes because like he's he's an athlete. A lot of times people get diabetes and they're diagnosed with diabetes and they think that they can't be professional athletes because it's really difficult for those people. But you can totally do it. Like Max Domi is a diabetic, and so was Bobby Clark. Bobby Clark? I might be wrong on that. Give me a second. Let me Google that up.
But the bottom line here, what you're saying is, you can do it, man. You can do it.
And you know what? It's exactly, and that's my whole message there. And I think it's gonna be really interesting.
Inspirational moment on
it
crossover.
Was. Bobby Clark was the one who was diabetic. Yeah, he was. It's really, really cool. I know you joke and make fun of me and all that. It's actually really
stuff. No. There's no joke when it comes to people overcoming. Disease,
and
like
that's
that.
Exactly and what it is. That's exactly what it is. It's really a very triumphant story. It's really cool.
So, awesome, man.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Let's move on to Rifles football. I know you got some stuff you want
to
say.
Yeah, the Rifles are headed to the playoffs. So big, big congratulations to them. They had a game last Sunday. Was it Sunday? I think it was Sunday.
Yeah.
In Edmonton against not the Wildcats.
Actually, if I'm not mistaken, Huskies. I believe it was on at the same time as the Bomber game.
You're right. It was Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right here. The game was Saturday at 1 o'clock in Edmonton against the Huskies, and they whooped them 60-8. And because two other teams in their conference lost, that put them into the playoffs. So last week I played a clip where I was asking Coach Park what needed to happen in order for them to make the playoffs. He said they need to win both games to be guaranteed a playoff spot. Well, they lucked out. Other teams lost, and now they're in. Now they can kind of treat their next Edmonton game against the Wildcats.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like
it'll be kind of like a practice, like a preseason. Let's feel it out, you know. Let's get our playoff strategies down, and take it from there. So yeah, big year for and this is a young group. Like I know that. We played those clips last week where the players were talking about how young it is, but really, like, there's a lot of first and second year players on this team, and really stoked for them. So I think that means that I might even be able to get down on the field one more time and make one last video for this team. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yep.
I hope that that all works out. And did you talk about the game at all? Sorry, I was kind of looking at stuff on my computer. Like the fact that they just trounced. Who was it? Edmonton
Huskies.
60-8. Did you mention that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, 60-8. Yeah, Jamie Ibarra, their one of their quarterbacks. They kind of go with like a two starting quarterback rotation kind of thing. I think both these guys have played a little bit of. They've gotten a few reps each game at least. Yeah. But anyway, Ibarra was he played. It looks like he played the entire game this time. 17 of 24 for 347 yards. Four majors and only one pick.
That's really cool.
That's really awesome.
That's a really great game.
Yeah, that's a good game. He also had 32 yards rushing. Odin Ogaden.
Did he light it up? Was this like his breakout game? I mean, no. He's had some good games before, but.
He has, yeah. But, I mean, he didn't light it up, but he was definitely their top rusher this time. He had 96 yards. Mm-hmm. Michael Richaud doesn't look like he got as many touches this time. He got four runs for 31 yards. Definitely not the breakout kind of game like he had 2 weeks ago in Winnipeg, where he bounced off of nine guys and ran through their entire team.
That was a crazy play.
Man, yeah, and it's up on the Rifles website. If you go to riflesfootball.com, it's right there on their homepage, and you can watch Michael Richaud run right through the entire Edmonton Wildcats team, pretty much like their pylons, and it was an impressive run.
Really good.
Yeah. What else can we talk about?
Well, I just want to make a quick comment on the Rifles. It looks like we might have playoff football in Winnipeg this year.
Good call. Yeah.
And I think we should use that to transition to the Bombers, maybe. Mm,
yeah. Yeah. Doesn't look like. Well, I mean, the coach O'Shea seems like he I got a clip that I'm gonna roll right away, but and obviously he wouldn't count him out, obviously, but. Well, like, I don't know. How do you feel? Do you think that there's even a chance?
Chance of what?
Of the Bombers making the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. It's a CFL. Anyone has a chance. Anyone has a chance at any time.
Well, let me rephrase then. Mm-hmm. What do you think the odds?
Odds are? I give them 30% chance they make playoffs, which actually isn't even that bad. It's not, are you taking a Snapchat or selfie?
No, I'm not. I'm looking at the standings right now.
Okay, good.
Would I do that? Dude, you're talking to a guy who's taken like five selfies in his life. I guess it kind of did look like I was lining it up. Okay, now who's a hypocrite now? Here, I'll give you the finger for that one. There we go.
Oh, I don't have any room on my phone. That photo is no good.
Yeah.
It's okay. I don't really want any pictures of me today anyway.
That's really unfortunate. But anyway, the Lions are only one game up on us, or one win up on us.
I know. That's why I say the CFL, man. We play the Lions yet too, don't we?
Coming up, I think.
Mm-hmm. So our final home game is against Ottawa, so that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to be at that one for sure.
Yeah, me too. I'll be working it, so that's good.
I'll be unofficially working it.
Okay. Well, that's really cool and exciting for you.
Well, I'll be there, but I won't be doing my game writing is done for them. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. It is the Lions coming up. Next game is this Saturday,
mm-hmm.
In BC. And really, you got to think if we don't win this one, there's no chance because Toronto.
We have to beat the Lions.
Yeah, Toronto in the East is now the team to watch out for the crossover.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Speaking of CFL football, TSN is just sending me emails right now as we speak for playing CFL fantasy football, which I did for a short period of time until the NFL started. But
let's talk that that game.
Yeah, last I know. Week. I've been avoiding it.
So have I. I don't even want to talk about it. It's just sad, man.
I know. Yeah. You know, it was hard to watch. It was really painful to watch. It was like every time I saw Liram Hirelahu get trouted out after the first miss, I was like, oh, he's going to do it again. Oh, and then he hit the post twice.
So what Jordan's talking about here is Hirelahu was 1 for 5 in the field goals in that game. The Bombers lost by a score of 24-23, okay, one point. Now, never mind the four missed field goals that Hirelahu had, and the two of which were posts, like you said.
Yeah.
Never mind those 12 points, okay? The Bombers missed a one-point convert.
Yep.
And a two-point convert, yeah, as well. So even if they decided not to kick those three field goals and just punted it away, whatever, right, and didn't get single points out of that, there's still 3 points they could have won by two had they connected on those converts.
That's 15 points they missed out on.
They missed out on. They left 15 points on the field that night.
Yeah, they just can't convert.
And what was I saying too? In the last field goal that he missed, I think it was like from 35 or 40 yards out. I was like, why not just punt it through the end zone?
Yeah.
At that point, they were 1 point down too. I think it was like 19-20 or 20-21 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Had they just booted it through the end zone, gotten the single, it would have been a tie game, and it would have ended in a tie game. Yeah. They would have gone to overtime.
They have a lot of trouble finishing, eh?
Oh God, it's man, like, this season's been brutal for them.
It's like the opposite of me. That joke just went by. Oh, man, that one's just going to sit there like that. Oh, no. Oh,
that's not what your girlfriend says.
I totally blew it.
That's not what your girlfriend
says. No, it's the opposite. In other words, I finished too fast. Get it?
No, you said you had trouble finishing.
No. I said they have trouble finishing.
Oh, they?
And I said the opposite of me.
Oh.
That did not go over well.
No.
You know, that could have been really funny if you'd have been paying attention. God damn it.
Maybe the listeners will find it funny. I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, let's hope.
What did you think of the Bombers' offense, though?
Thought the offense looked good. I like Matt Nichols a lot, actually. I think he's definitely a solid backup to have.
Yeah, me too.
Denmark actually showed up.
Who is this guy? Yeah. Who is this? Clarence Denmark? Yeah. I've never heard of him before a couple games ago.
He showed up. I mean, the defense, I thought Bomber defense looked good. I thought they really did look good other than that last drive. What else was there? Oh, Darvin Adams, again.
5 catches, 66 yards.
Looks good. Oh, I like Darvin Adams a lot. And actually, the running game wasn't atrocious. Was it?
Yes, it was.
Okay, it was atrocious.
It was absolutely atrocious.
Well, I feel like Cameron Marshall did move the ball a little bit, though.
Yeah, 17 yards down the field. Okay. Over 7 carries, dude.
That's a first down.
I'm sorry, but Marshall is not a running back.
Well, he's a good running back. He's a good change of pace.
He's not a good running back. The numbers prove that.
Well, no. I mean, he's not a good running back all on his own. He needs another guy to play off of.
He hasn't had an average over 3 yards all season long.
Over 3 yards, including...
I'm pulling that out of my ass because the last few times that I've looked, it's been 2.4, like last game.
I don't believe that's right. I'm pretty sure he's got a good average in the early weeks when Paris Cotton was still healthy. But, I mean, that's...
Okay, his 2015 average thus far is 4.1.
There you go. See, that means that this is maybe his worst game.
I like the way that you just shook your head. Like, yep, no, I'm
like,
right.
I'm like, yep, that's right. That's me.
No, I don't think that was his, well, it might have been his worst game.
I think it was.
But he hasn't been good since Cotton left.
I agree. I'm not arguing that. He's not a feature back. He is a change of pace, swap him out with somebody else kind of back. And that's okay. It can be okay anyway.
How about Nick Moore? He had himself a hell of a game.
Like me some Nick Moore.
Yep. Like 6 catches, 86 yards. His longest was 41. Only receiver to register a touchdown.
like me some Nick Moore. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
He's a hell of a player. Mm-hmm. Nichols' numbers were not that good, though.
No, they weren't amazing.
22 for 39, 320. But
it's about how he managed the game.
Yes.
He managed the game really well.
Yes.
Unlike Ryan Braun.
Unlike Brian. Let's not talk about Brian.
I know.
Braun.
He comes up every week. This should be called the Brian Braun Show.
He,
get it? Because we can't score.
He likes to throw to the dirt. And he likes to underthrow players by about a good 5 yards. But anyway, Nichols had a slow start to this game. So did the entire Bomber offense, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, aside from, Troy Studebaker had a really slow start to the game.
Oh, wow, yeah, I almost forgot about that. Break it down for us. What happened?
Well, you know, simply he went to go catch the opening kickoff, and it went off his fucking face like a big dum-dum. And the ball bounces out, and they recover it and score a field goal.
They actually, on the way out of bounds, the Edmonton Eskimo was the last one to touch it. I think it went off his shoulder.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
So
you're right. It went off of an Eskimo player and out of bounds.
Yeah. So still, so they took over like on the 20 or the 21, basically in the red zone. And
well, that stopped him.
Props to the D. They held him to a field goal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The defense was on fire.
Yeah. And actually, you know, it's funny, too. Aside from that one play from Studebaker, as my friends call him, Troy Studebaker, Studebaker had actually his best game of the season. He had a lot of good runs, and he actually returned he returned a punt.
All the way, yeah, you're right.
Everywhere, all the way back. That's what I say, he returned a punt.
Actually, yeah.
All the way, you know, he didn't return it 2 yards, he returned it all the way to the goal line.
And actually,
There's a nice cut on the play, too, where he cut the kicker.
Yeah, you're right about that. And he had a couple good returns, too. It says here he only had 66 return yards, but I can't. Oh, there it is. It's the punt returns where he had 8 punt returns for 123 yards.
There
the longest
was
the 78-yard touchdown.
There you go.
Yep. So that he had himself a hell of a game, and I was chirping him hard at the start of the game there on the
social.
Well,
I mean, when you see the guy, and he looks up at the ball and it goes boink right off his face.
Man, that was just brutal.
That's pretty rough.
Okay, do you want to get into that clip of Mike O'Shea?
Yeah, go ahead and play it.
All right.
What do you say to Liram? I mean, do you speak to him during the game? Do you speak to him afterwards?
Yep, all that.
Encouraging? Is it conversations encouraging throughout?
Yes, it is. It has to be.
Can you continue on for the rest of the season with him as your kicker, or do you need to look elsewhere?
Yeah, Liram had a bad day. Yeah. So obviously, you know, we gotta look at how we're gonna win games going forward. But at first glance, you know, he had a bad day. He was kicking it over 80% before that, so it's a tough one. It's a tough one for him too, right? Not just his teammates, it's a tough one for him. Fans, everything. So we gotta find a way to pull him back up and get him through this next day and get him back out in the field and have him kicking good footballs again.
Feel that you guys just right now can't seem in many ways to catch a break?
I'm not that pessimistic. Yeah, you gotta make your own breaks, right? You're not looking to catch one. You gotta go out there and make them, and we probably had way too many penalties cost us field position when we had some good return yardage there. There's other things we didn't move the ball well enough in the first half. Defensively, I'm sure we can do some other things. We lost control of Riley a couple times besides the kicking game. There's other things we can do to clean up to make sure we win this game.
Did you ever have, like, when you see a couple kicks go off the upright, did you have like a "are you kidding me" kind of moment, or like how do you know?
No, there's more game to be played. You got to move on to that very next play, right? You got to get guys organized, get them out there, make sure they're ready to go. If I have that thought, what's the team gonna do? You can't possibly let that creep into your head, and it doesn't for me. I knew we were gonna win the game. It's the bottom line.
You've played the two of the toughest teams in the last couple weeks real hard, and like Zach Anderson was just saying, played them real hard and have nothing to show for it. Just talk about how much that has to sting a bit.
yeah, it's going to sting. And then they got to find a way to pull it back together and get to BC and win there. All right, we got to get in the playoffs because playing tough against tough teams, you know, isn't going to matter if we don't make the playoffs. So we got to make the playoffs, and then we got to do that again against those two type of teams, right?
Can you, what happened to Pat Neufeld?
Yeah, upper body injury. I don't know.
On the off chance you weren't asked yet, difference in your offense from first half to second half.
Yep, good adjustments.
Yeah.
Yep.
And explaining the start, maybe, try?
You know, it looks like they just had a couple different looks that, and the pitchers were maybe a little different from what we were seeing. I thought we still protected well. I just don't think we were, we weren't connecting on the throws, you know. It seemed like when we were moving to a, you know, focusing on a side that was, they were taking it away pretty well. So I think they made some great adjustments. Obviously they did. We put up 240 whatever yards offense in the second half.
Can you share a bit of your emotions as this game goes?
You know, it's, you got to keep them in check because you have coaching to do, right? You got to try to evaluate everybody else's emotional state. Can't be wallowing in mine.
Right. Can you share it now, how you feel?
We gotta watch the film, make the corrections, and we gotta move on. That's the way it is every single week. How I feel, I don't know if that's gonna make a difference, right?
It provides an insight, though.
Well, I mean, it's sucks for the players. I believe they deserve better. I believe they poured everything they had into this, and they're gonna do it again next week.
Be hard to pick them up again?
No. No.
Football gods. Do you believe in that?
No.
And are they against you?
No. No. No.
It's all about execution. Yeah.
Yep. Obviously, tonight, yeah.
Do you have the roster flexibility to put Sergio Castillo on next week as a second kicker, just in case, you know?
Yeah, I won't comment on that right now. We'll have to figure it out. Kyle and I'll sit down and look at the roster.
Have you talked to Liram? I don't know what was asked at the beginning of this scrum, but have you talked to Liram?
Yep.
What'd you tell him?
That's between Liram and I.
How's he doing?
He'll be doing just fine.
Couple comments real quick about about that scrum. Man, was it just me, or did it seem like Sarah Orleski wanted to see a new kicker in town?
Oh, I don't know if that's... I think she just was asking a question that everyone had on their mind, I think.
I get that. It's just like... And then the question at the end there, too. What'd you say to Liram? And how pissed did Mike, we got to look at the tape O'Shea sound when he was like, that's between Liram and I.
Knowing Mike O'Shea and knowing everything about that situation, I guarantee the let's look at the tape thing is like a default that they go with, the PR department tells him to go with.
Oh, of course.
So, you know.
However, that doesn't mean that I can't throw that in as a moniker
for
him.
No, you totally can, and it's a something for sure. But, like, yeah, I'm just saying that that's not like a Mike O'Shea decision. That's people telling him how to speak, right? Which is,
yep.
Feel however you want to about that, but, yeah.
I mean, I don't like it. I don't like the PR answers. I never have. I never will.
I get that.
But
I think they're crap, so.
But it is funny how every single press conference I've listened to from him, it's, well, you know, we're going to have to look at the tape and then analyze it from there.
Well, that's his PR, yeah.
He does say it in this one, too, a little bit further down. But, yeah. I don't know. What do you think of all that? It really is depressing. I mean, the Bombers, man.
I feel bad for Liram. I really feel bad for Liram.
Yeah, you know, he had such a solid year last season.
He did.
And he's just not able to match that this season.
I don't think it's his fault. I really don't.
Well, what is it, then? How can you say it's not his fault? He's the one kicking.
It's just unlucky. Just unfortunate.
Is it a Ray Finkel thing? Laces out.
It's funny that you bring up the Ray Finkel thing. Maybe. I don't know, man. Laces. I mean, that was early on. That's what they said. I think it's so. What happened is it's just kind of a slow unraveling. He started missing the extra points, and from there on, it just got into his head, and now it's in his head, and he needs to get that out. I don't know how he's going to do it, but to me, it's a mental game. We know that he has the ability to do it. It's just a matter of he just isn't there mentally. And in fact, he's so not there mentally, he didn't even face the music after the game.
He didn't go to talk to the press.
Bailed out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which I don't feel, I mean, like, it's, I give him a pass because he's never done it before. And honestly, he had the shittiest game I've ever seen as a kicker. Like, and that's like, that talking anybody. Like, there's been, like, more devastating kicker failures, but.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Troy Westwood, to name one, he missed three kicks in a Grey Cup game that the Bombers lost by how much? I think they lost by, like, what, 3 or 4 points?
I've actually got a really funny thing to say about that, too. Troy Westwood got tons of shit on Twitter because Liramire Lalu had a bad game.
Yeah, I love that. That's so funny.
I thought it was really funny that it was like people were shitting on Troy Westwood because Liram had a bad game.
I think I retweeted one that I found.
It was really funny. And Randy Turner really had the joke of the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bad day for Liramire Lalu. He goes home angry, tries to kick his dog, misses wide left.
Oh, it's so good. That's so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really great joke.
But. So. Some quick playoff positioning here. I just found an interesting tweet. It's called "If This, Then That." I love these. So, if Saskatchewan loses this week, they will be eliminated from playoff contention. I thought they had been eliminated after the first 5 games of the season.
CFL,
but contrary to that, if BC wins, then Saskatchewan is eliminated as well. So Saskatchewan can lose or BC can lose. So if the Bombers win this week, Saskatchewan's out. If BC loses, Edmonton is assured a home playoff game.
Interesting.
If Edmonton wins or ties, they've assured themselves a home playoff game as well.
Interesting.
So, and also news coming in from week 16 is Calgary and Edmonton both clinched their playoff spots.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's not a shocker to anybody, but now it's official.
I think they clinched their playoff spots in week one.
Both those teams clinched faster than Saskatchewan clinched themselves to be out of the running.
That's true. Yeah. That's actually literally true.
It is, yeah. So, which is shocking. I mean, I think Saskatchewan does have a few wins now, hey?
One.
Do they still only have
just
the one?
They beat Bombers. That's it.
I'm going to quickly fact-check.
You can fact-check that. I'm going to talk real quickly. We're done our Bombers conversation. We're almost done our show, actually. Bisons were on a bye this week. That's why they didn't play, and that's why I had no information on them. So there's that. And then we're going to talk about the Jets in just a second here. But first, Sean is going to check to see if I'm correct in saying the Watermelons have one win.
Yeah, no.
Zero additional wins.
I thought they put together a couple Ws
in
the last few.
They suck.
Oh, yeah. No argument that they suck.
They suck. So
I'm just saying, I remember seeing a tweet. Of course, you can't always go by tweets, but...
And I said firing Corey Chamberlain and Brennan Tamman was
they
have 2 wins?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm wrong.
You are wrong. And I like to bring it up every time that you are wrong. In fact, I wasn't all the way right, however.
No.
But more right than you were.
I don't agree with that.
So anyway,
it's a matter of opinion.
We're running out of time here. Let's
real quickly fire some Jets off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jets talk.
That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna talk the Jets roster. So Andrew Kopp made the team.
Yep. No surprise there. Figured it was going to happen.
Nick Ehlers, like you called.
Figured.
Which I didn't. I didn't think he was going to make the team. But here it says his weight is now up to 172.
That's paperweight.
He's still lighter than both of us.
Speak for yourself.
Are you not heavier than 172?
I have no idea what I weigh. Okay. I've been all over the place.
I've got 20 pounds on him. So another name that neither of us were actually 100% sure of. I was kind of confident for this guy, but Nick Petan made the team. Yeah,
I was a little bit surprised too. I figured he was going to be cut. I mean, when they announced that JC Lipon was cut, I was not surprised even a little bit.
Now, did they cut him, or he'll be playing on the Moose, right?
Well, when they cut players, that's what they do.
It goes down to the Moose. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure.
We'll just be clear about that for people who aren't completely tech savvy like that. But
sure.
And then also Raffle too.
Thomas Raffle also. They actually decided to sign him and put him on the Moose, which I am a huge fan of because I thought Raffle had a really good preseason except for the last game. I thought he looked really strong, and I would love to see him on the NHL lineup if somebody gets hurt. I do like having Batan there. I think that he definitely does bring a lot of skill there. I still think he's too small, but...
Yeah. Well, and just going back to what you said about Raffle, that was one of the... No, sorry, I'm thinking about Harrison. And here, heartbreaker story of the preseason. Pomo having to tell his good buddy Harrison. Did you know that he coached Harrison through four different teams?
Yeah, that's tough.
One of them being the Toronto Marlies, the other one being... well, actually, he was with Pomo in Toronto, both A and NHL, and he was on... why do I want to say the Hartford Whalers? Because I'm old.
I feel like that's wrong.
The Carolina Hurricanes. That's what I.
Yeah,
that's
there what you I go. Say.
Yeah, and now the Jets. That's the fourth team that Pomo's coached Harrison, and he had to break the news today that he didn't make the team.
Well,
heartbreaker.
The news on that, right? They just announced recently that Harrison actually cleared waivers, so he will be playing for the Moose this season.
Yep, he's still going to be a Winnipeg boy, and I really feel like he's going to do well.
Oh, yeah, he will. He'll light it up. In fact, I would be amazed if they don't give him an A or a C or something.
Oh, yeah, probably.
So, or, I mean, maybe they could dish him, too, but I doubt that. Well, yeah, maybe.
I don't really see that happening. I mean, he's a good utility
and
guy.
He's also cheap, too.
He's cheap. He's got some grit. Yeah. I think he'll fit in well on the Moose.
And if he cleared waivers, who the hell's going to want him?
Well, yeah, that's another thing, too. Party and Postma both made the team. I wasn't sure about Postma. Honestly, he didn't impress me too much last year.
Surprised, but I know that there's more desire out them for him out there than there is for Harrison, and I think that's probably why Harrison was sent down, because they knew that he could clear waivers, whereas
Postma
Party
couldn't.
Postma, yeah, would maybe get claimed.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I agree with that too. yeah. And that's besides that, the team's pretty much the same. A lot of returning characters.
Well, I mean, I don't really have much else to say. We know the lineup now. Nothing much to talk about other than the fact that Ehlers, Patan, and Kopp are on the team. That's all that's really new, right?
Yep.
On the blue line, it's the same as we saw last year. There's no differences at all.
Exact same.
So, yeah, we'll see a bunch of returning characters and see how the new ones can replace the ones that are no longer here. They start Thursday, right? That's the opening game, and they play in Boston on Thursday night.
Thursday.
Yep. They do. 6 p.m. game. And they start actually with a 4-game road trip. So we won't see them here at home for a while. But that's okay. I like to watch on TV anyway. So I get to hear the dulcet tones of, what do you call them? Dennis Bayak.
I worked out with him once at the Y. Actually,
oh, really?
On two separate occasions. Yeah. He,
is he strong?
Well, I didn't like work out with him. Like he was, the gym was pretty much empty. I was there during the day.
You mean he wasn't like bench pressing? You were like spotting him. Come on, Dennis.
You got
250 right here, right now.
I wouldn't exactly say that he's like super strong. He's,
no,
he's a bit of an older guy, right?
He's an older gentleman. Yeah.
He's just probably staying in shape. He's probably in better shape than I am right now.
I handed him some papers once. He was a sweet man.
Yeah, is he? Oh yeah, you
nice
you interrupted their TV broadcast,
nice
didn't
guy,
you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're that Dick Stats guy. Mm-hmm. That
Gary just like furrowed his brow at me.
What do you think you're doing here, boy?
Oh, yeah, so.
You got some shitty glasses on your face.
That was the day before he got announced, too, that he was no longer going to be with the Free Press and he was going to be with TSN permanently.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, I think like we're out of time. I'll leave all of our loyal listeners with a clip of Paul Maurice talking about the team.
I have a quick question though. First, Sean,
what's up?
So, did you listen to last week's episode?
Did.
Did you listen to the end? Because I haven't listened to the end yet, like the very end, like the last second.
Oh yeah, you didn't make it.
Didn't make it.
No.
Well, I better say peace out twice then.
And I swear I didn't cut it.
I'm sure you didn't cut
it. No, I didn't.
I
didn't purposely cut it. I turned the thing off before you cut it in.
All right.
The Lowry, Stafford, Burmistro line. How would you? It's an interesting mix, and it's new, relatively. How would you describe it, and how do you see the role going into the season?
Well, three smart guys. So their physical abilities may be slightly different. Staff's been a scorer in this league. Burmy's kind of a little bit of a dynamic guy with the puck, but he's been schooled really well defensively. And Adams, I think, is just more prototypical of a guy that's going to play against the other team's best, big, strong center. So we see them being able to handle big minutes, and it's a role that we want to push Adam in. But when you play against better offensive players, you also get your chance too. So we think with Staff there on the right, I really liked his last two exhibition games. I thought it was really strong. It gives us kind of three veterans, even though the one guy's a bit of a rookie in some ways, to help with that job. Ran Little's line with Ladd and Frolik very, very consistently in that role last year, and did with Scheif's line at times, with Perreault there, it wasn't exactly what you wanted in a line to do that job. And then when you go through and I've gone through my game cards from last year, the number of different combinations we had in our third and fourth line was just shocking. So I can't tell you what we did in those lines. It was different every five games. I think our structure might be better than it was. Well, it's probably better than it was when we started, for sure, last year. We just got to stay a little healthier.
I'm not sure if being a coach in the league for so long would give you any perspective on this, but the NHL and NHLPA are talking about thinking there's increased drug use. From where you sit as a coach, I don't know what you would see, but have you seen any changes over the time that you've been in the league?
I've just gotten older, you know. I mean, I haven't... The clear answer is absolutely not. These players seem to be more fit, more dedicated, less time in recreation and relaxing, and more time in training and recovery. That being said, I've always just thought with our league, it's just a pretty normal mirror of the world. So if there's an increase in drug use or some kind of extracurricular activity in normal society, then that's going to be true in the NHL as well. But I will tell you that the program that they have in the NHL is fantastic, and it's very, very private, and they do a wonderful job of keeping that private. But I think they're very proactive with it. So I'm all for it. I'm all for anything that they can do to help players early on either deal with a problem they're struggling with, whether it's an addiction, whether it's a mental issue. I think they have the resources there to reach out. I also think that because the players have a general idea in their own room of anybody that might be availing themselves of that program, it's far more accepted than it was 10, 15 years ago. If you need help, ask for it. I think it's fantastic.
Interested in your thoughts on Rafi Torres' 41-game suspension.
So I'm a bigger suspension proponent. My complaint is always the relativity of our suspensions to somebody else's, but I'm all for that. I understand at times where there's a reluctance to put a big number on it because there's the benefit of doubt the player deserves. And the first line is, I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to catch him like that. And in a lot of players, that's the truth. But it's still suspension, so we get a small number and we live with it. But there's no benefit of the doubt anymore for Mr. Torres. He's crossed that line too many times, so there isn't a number that would have surprised me.
Anyway, that's week five. Make sure to check us out next week. As always, you can check us out on sperrun.wordpress.com or check out my tweets at sperrun, and you'll find us. So Tune in. Subscribe to us. We want more subscribers.
We always want more subscribers. Yeah. Subscribers. More subscribers means more hypothetical fake money.
Yeah, exactly. All right, see you later.
Peace out.
Oh, you dick.
Gotta get both of them in?